All right, we're going to start the next talk. If you're going to stay in the room, please take a seat. If you want to leave, please leave. Okay, so next speaker is Michele, who's going to talk about a universal sparse blast library.
So, yes. At the core of many technical or scientific computing problems, we end up with reduce the problem to solving a system of linear equations. If the system of linear equations were a simple one, like a 2x2 one, the method of solving would be pretty simple. And in any case, it would involve representing the linear systems by the data structure of a matrix, so a table of symbols, or usually numbers, and a few vectors of numbers. So the matrix is a basic structure of scientific computing. In the case of such toys problems or school problems, we have exact direct solutions at our disposal, which works fine. However, once we go into the problems involving simulation of larger domains, so engineering problems, those linear systems to be solved become large, and also the methods that we use for smaller systems are not applicable here anymore, because the numerical stability of, let's say, toy problems or small problems, that stability is not here anymore. Simply, with those methods, numbers, results diverge. And the time to solution also increases more than exponentially. So they're simply infeasible and don't make sense. So it's a different, we use completely different techniques for large linear systems. So furthermore, if those systems were not only large, but also full of zeros in the matrices, so how do we call those systems, or what do we have to do with here? We have to do perhaps with sparse systems or sparse problems. This is the way we call it. So in this acoustics matrix, or matrix coming from acoustics, we observe that less than 0.5% of each row on the average has a non-zero element. So we would call this sparse system, perhaps. So the system coming from this matrix. Indeed, usually we are happy with the definition of Jim Wilkinson, where we say a problem or a matrix is sparse if we can, with our technology, with our technique, we can make use of the amount of zeros there to our advantage. So this is the definition. It's not about numbers. It's really about what we are able to do with the way the matrix looks like. So among the different matrices we can encounter, we could have matrices from a circuit simulation, which look like this and have such clustered elements in them. Sometimes the elements are more clustered around the diagonal, like in this quantum chromodynamics, I think, matrix. computational fluid dynamics matrices are a bit more regular, you could say. So it means that you can exploit all of those matrices perhaps in different ways. This is why I'm showing you this gallery. This is another CFD, so computational fluid dynamics matrix, a structural matrix, another material problem matrix, structural, and so on. This is also CFD one. So this was just to tell you that sparsity really is related to the technology we use to deal with it. Usually we are happy using iterative methods with sparse systems. iterative methods because something is being iterated. So there is a loop, and with the most common methods, Krylov methods, the loop usually has a bottleneck, has a core operation, which is prominently multiplying the system matrix by one vector or many vectors. Depends a bit on the technique. There are several of them. Here I'm showing a GNU Octave implementation of such a one iterative method. So there are two kernel operations or main operations. Multiplication of the matrix by many vectors, or let's say another dense matrix, or the triangular solve, so the solving of matrices which are called preconditioner matrices, but are sparse. And these are the core operations which we are interested in. And I want to mention that those operations, so the sparse matrix vector or multi-vector operation, can have very many variants. The variants can be on the matrix, which could be perhaps complex and Hermitian, or symmetric. It doesn't have always to be square. It could be any rectangular, and perhaps it has already a unit diagonal, and we can exploit this. This is what I'm saying. This. Many things change if the matrix has a different has a complex number, so long complex numbers, like a speaker before me spoke about. So that changes the balances in the performance profile here, and other things might change. And all of this have influence on the specific kernels. And if you think like Ludovic has spoken about the different variants that one might want to build over different architectures, so you see that this is, you end up with code bloat if you really want to optimize each subcase. Also, the operands have their own variants. So in the way the data are laid in the dense matrix. Yeah. Similarly, for the triangular solve operation, there also you have different variants, which lead to a multitude of different kernels or ways you wish to write them, kernels of code. So this led to a committee of people end of the 90s to meet together. It was mostly US people, but also with delegations from Europe to standardize an API which they called Sparse Blast, Sparse Basic Linear Algebra Subroutines, to somehow just give an API to the different variations of the operations that I spoke about. So it's not like full blast, if you know the dense blast. It's mostly about creating sparse matrices, destroying them, and doing a few operations, not only those ones, but these are really the core operations. And they talked about C and Fortran, because 20-something years ago was the final document which they finalized. Now, after 20 years, we could say that, well, what they've wrote, especially in my opinion, is perfectly portable, allows some parallelization, even if it's not specified at all. They didn't foresee extensions, but it's possible. If you look at the API, you see that you can have extensions, so they're not blocked somehow. The namesake of Sparse Blast has been copied by every major vendor you can imagine. The sad thing that each major vendor has completely violated their API, so they changed something in a slightly incompatible way, which is sad, it's simply sad. And the original Sparse Blast didn't think about the GPUs, but actually, in my experience, looking at how people program code, I see so much technical depth that I think you can do compromises, and with small adaptations, you could adapt the Sparse Blast to the GPU, to the GPU computations to some extent. So I think you can save this API to a good extent. And this is the reason why I'm here. So I wrote a library which respects the original Sparse Blast. So a C Sparse Blast program can look like this, where you have a notation for the Sparse Blast operations, which is logical if you know Blast a bit, so you can understand it a bit. And going in the direction of my library, it's centered, it's around a data format, a sparse matrix format, which I came up with. It's called recursive sparse blocks, because there is a recursive subdivisions. There are blocks which are sparse. And the reason, the motivation for this data structure is to not exclude the sparse BLAS operations. So I have made compromises in order to allow sparse BLAS operations to be there. I didn't want to preclude these operations. So it's a compromise. And the core idea here is to have, let's say, cache size blocks, more or less, and a way to give each multi-thread, multi-core core something to work with. So it's oriented towards multi-core. It's not for GPUs, or not at the moment, at least. So the matrices which you have seen before in with this data format, that data structure, works up, look a bit like this. The color is based on the population, on the amount of matrices are there. Then there is another color coding with other information. But this is just to tell you that the irregular aspect of those matrices is reflected also here to some extent. Yeah. So the library itself wants to provide sparse BLAS. So building blocks for iterative solvers. It's pretty compatible at the library. It works with C, C++, Fortran, Octave, and Python. I say it's quite compatible. So it uses, let's say, established technologies. And it's quite compatible also in the sense with your software. It doesn't require you to use too much. The only data structure which is custom is the matrix. You don't need extra data structures for vectors. And the program you saw before written in the sparse BLAS for using RSB uses just one extra init and finalized function. So I really respect that API. But however, it's nice to have also to write also the 15th standard, or I'm joking, this is not the 15th standard, but just the internal API. So if you want, perhaps you can exploit the internal API of LibreSB, or not the internal, but the native one. Please tell me when I'm at 10 minutes. Yeah, which is primarily in C. Then you have wrappers with C++. And there is also the Fortran one. And these are the native APIs. And what is specific about RSB is that the blocking is not so, it's not so clear which blocking is best. Because, yeah, depending on how do you block, you could have better or worse performance. And for this reason, there is an idea of using automated empirical optimization in this library. There is a special call, a function which you call where you invest time to ask the library to optimize a bit the data structure. So you sacrifice a minute, perhaps, for optimizing the data structure a bit. And you do this in the hope that the many hours which will be using this matrix afterwards will be decreased thanks to the optimization. Because, as I said, this is meant to be used for iterative methods. So you will be running this for many hours. And therefore, spending a few minutes in automated optimization, it's something that should pay off. No guarantee, but that's the idea, and that is usually how it goes. To give an idea, the C++ API is what you would expect. So there is a class templated on the type, so there is type safety here. When you say, this is my matrix, these are my non-zeros, because this is what we're representing here. You have flags, C-style flags for options, like symmetry or asking for discarding zeros rather than keeping the zeros, because sometimes you want to keep structural zeros for modifying them later, for instance. So you have many such options here, and this is why I'm showing this slide, to tell you that there are many options which I'm not showing you here. Yeah, and the only data structure here is the RSB matrix, no other custom stuff, and you can exploit, you can enjoy the span interface of C++20 that doesn't really force you to have any weird custom vector type, apart from the standard C++ ones. If you want to use for instance, GNU Octave, and enjoy the multicore speedup from libRSB, you can use the sparse RSB plugin, which I wrote, which uses libRSB pretty efficiently. So apart from a few conversions, it should have almost native performance. Similarly, for Python, the PyRSB plugin for standalone package has an interface which is it's copied from CSR matrix, so you use it mostly the same way, but underneath libRSB runs. You don't see it. Or you see it if you ask it to use the auto-tuning routine. Because, as I said, in all of those language implementations, you can also use all of the functionality of libRSB, which includes the auto-tuning, also here in Octave. And I want to stress this. GNU Octave doesn't have sparse multi-threaded sparse operations. With libRSB, you can have them. Same for SciPy sparse. As far as I know, it's not multi-threaded. With libRSB, you get it. libRSB is, by default, is licensed as lesser GPL 3, which means you can, if you don't, as long as you don't modify it, you can distribute it with your proprietary code. If you modify it, well, it's more complicated. You have to release the modified version. The libRSB library is, if you want to learn to use it, it makes absolutely sense to use a packaged version from Debian, Ubuntu, or most of Linux distributions. Or if you use Windows, and you can use Cygwin. Or once you want the performance, I mean, you can just compile it by yourself because it's quite trivial. Or enjoy what our colleagues here from SPAC and EasyBuild have done and use the packaged version from those distributions. And some people have written wrappers for Rust and Julia. I don't know these languages, so I didn't use them. I think the Rust one is like the entire API. I think Julia is more in Julia style, so it's just what it's the core functionality is there, I think. Yeah, that was everything. I don't know how much time did I take? Oh, 50 minutes. So, thanks.